Today is not enough. We want more of you. We want more of you. Father, it's the beginning of a new year, a new decade. And we say the years gone by. We are so thankful for what you've done in our lives and for the things that you've done on our behalf, for the protection and everything you've given us, the food you've put on our tables, the clothes you've put on us, the roof over our heads. You've taken us in and out, and you've protected us, brought us back home. Some people are not alive. Some people are currently probably suffering so much in hospital, but we're still alive. And it is well with us. We just want to say thank you. We want more, Jesus. Amen. Thank you. Today I want to talk on the topic, reclaiming your inheritance and destiny. I'm not going to rush to finish because I have two more Sundays, then I will take a little break. So I will share with you what I can for now. So, I mean, the light is good. I'm sure you can see me. Or I should laugh.
We love you.
Oh, thank you. I know you love me, sir. Reclaiming your inheritance and destiny. You see, when we say reclaiming, that means something that was in your hands already or was yours already. For some reason, it's not where it's supposed to be, and you are reclaiming it. Or sometimes, something that is already good, but something has distorted it or shifted it, and you want it to come back to where it ought to be, its original place. That is what we mean by reclaiming. Of course, inheritance, we may think we understand, but that is exactly what it is. Somebody has worked so hard and passed on something to you. And normally, when they pass it to you, it is something valuable, sometimes pricey, sometimes, you cherish it for the rest of your life so that you can pass it on. Sometimes it changes your life and your dynamics forever. But you didn't work for it. Somebody did work for it and pass it on to you. That is exactly what Jesus Christ, our Lord, did. He worked so hard. He laid down his life. He went onto the cross. He gave up his majesty. And he came. He was rejected so that you will be accepted. He was humiliated so that you can walk with your head high. He went through pain so that you can walk with strength and healing. He was whipped, chastised, as if he's done something wrong, but the Bible says he didn't do nothing wrong, but he did that so that you will be now going through the same thing in your life. He died so that you can live. And the Bible even goes on to tell us that he took the curses that is upon us. That's the repetition of bad things that happens, that is in your family, sometimes in your generations, that you see yourself going through. Somebody was sick in your generation, suffering from X, Y, Z, and then your grandmother suffered from it, your mother suffered from it, and you are suffering from it, your children are suffering from it. Sometimes it is a kind of behavior pattern that is inherited. You see, science called it genes, but the biblical word is generational curse. And Jesus Christ said, look, I have come to exchange this for you. That is what we call divine exchange. So Jesus went on the cross for all these things for us to be free of them. This is an inheritance he's given to us. But sometimes this inheritance is taken away from us, or we give the legal right to the enemy to take that inheritance from us. Sometimes due to our own error, mistakes, or ignorance, or intentional misbehavior, we allow the enemy. We give him the legal right. We give him the right to take it. Satan has no right, towards you. He will only come in when you open the door. For instance, if you shut your door in your home, no thief will go in if you have good security, right? But then if you're going to work and you leave your door opened, you tell me, if somebody comes in, who are you going to blame? You're giving that person the right to enter to help themselves to what you've got. And that is what we're talking about today. This church is currently embarking on 21 days of fasting to empower our prayers in order to reclaim spoils taken from us by the strong man. We're fasting for 21 days to prepare us for the year and the decade ahead of us and to prevent any adversity from overtaking us or robbing us of our blessings. Today is the 9th day. Some of you haven't even started. You have an opportunity to start. There are guidelines. Go on the internet. You find it, from our church website. Or if you receive daily devotions, you will have it. If you don't receive daily devotions, there's an opportunity for you to complete a form for us, and we'll put it on our database so that you can receive daily devotions through your emails. Of course, there are hard copies there. If you are old as me, and you're not as current as me, then you pick one from there. Now, I just want to encourage you guys that we want to be prepared as individuals, as a church, to move forward in our lives this year. Yesterday is not enough. Today is not enough. We want to move forward in our lives. I was listening to Michelle, and I'm thinking she came here when she was only 7. And 7-year-old, having gone through the things that she went through and walked in fear for 10 years, a whole decade. And you have a whole decade in front of you to make a difference in your life, so you are in a good place. And we are in a place that we are capable of helping you if you are willing. If you are willing, if you want to. Some of you, you know you have problems, but you don't want those solutions. You hope it vanishes. It ain't going to vanish nowhere. It will stay with you, and you don't have to go to your death with it. Because if you go, there's something we call familiar spirit. Because whatever the issue is familiar with you. So when you die, that doesn't die. It goes to the next person who is so close to you. And the person inherits that. So it is for your own good and the good of your generations and your sons and daughters to sign up. We don't kill people here, you know. We energize people. We transform lives by the power of Jesus Christ. See, some of you who knows me, we have changed a lot. We've changed a lot because we have come to learn to know God through prayer and fasting. We've learned to come to know God through obedience. We've come to know God through prayers in the spirit. And therefore, God has energized us and moved us into another level. And I want to recommend this to you. I'm a normal human being, you know, and I'm sure everybody sitting here is a normal human being, right? So I just want you to understand that we're not here to do you no harm. We're here to help you. So if you're not signing up to come upon what we want to do, you know what? We're not going to force you. You understand that? We love you so much. You see, Jesus Christ didn't have to come and die because he loves us so much. He made the effort to say, you know what? Greater love has no man than this, that someone will lay his life down his life for his friends. So he said, I call you my friends, and I will lay down my life and give you the very best that I can. He will love you to the extent that he will die for you. So I want to encourage you, my brothers and my sisters, that we change life in this church. And I'm confident that miracles even happen here in this church. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Miracles do. Last week we were having prayer and fasting. It was so powerful, wasn't it? Yes. Monday evening, we had a powerful prayer session. And then in the midweek, you have, Mega Hope, House of Peace. Was incredible, the sort of prayer and spiritual energy that was released here. And Friday, there was instant healing like that. And demons were flying out of people like that. Really? Yes. Some of you know this theory. But we deal with it in reality. In the name of Jesus. You see, I've come across so many Christians, when they talk about spiritual warfare, they actually have no clue what it is, because it is words, buzzwords for them. And I just want you to know that you're walking around, but you don't know what is also walking around in the supernatural and the spirit. There's a spirit world out there. We don't want to focus all our lives on it. But I just want you to know that these things are there to also mess up your life. And God has opened our eyes and our hearts that we have come to understand these things, that we have the ability, the wisdom, the understanding, the power, the authority to deal with these things and to help you out. And I thank God for the life of people like Michelle. She's gone through a lot for 10 years. I listened to her story before she came to share it. And that bit probably she forgot, because she said there were times that she felt suicidal. Suicidal, in case you don't understand the English word, that means you want to take your life. Many people do take their life for some reason. And why will a child like that, beautiful, pretty, smart, I didn't write those things for her. You see, it was coming through her nose, her ears, everywhere. She did it herself. And said, Pastor, this is what I want to share. I said, hey, that's good. Go ahead and do it. But the enemy wanted to destroy such a child. But God wanted to save such a child. In Jesus' name. Do you know she's still a minor? That means she's not 18 yet. So she's still a child. Hallelujah. Above all, in this church, we want to prepare you as individuals and as a church to move forward in our lives this year. For that reason, we do not want to be ignorant of the devices of the enemy, but rather be open to the awareness of God, to be open to the awareness of the Holy Spirit, to be open to receive revelation from the Bible, and to be open to the power and the presence of God, so that we'll walk this year on this earth with victory in the name of Jesus. Above all, as a church, we want to be a catalyst of God's mercy and goodness towards souls and lead them to Christ, where we will disciple them to become faithful followers of Jesus Christ. We are interested in the soul of men. That means man and woman. Your soul. Your soul is your mind. You see, if things are entering somebody's mind and the person is fearful, it's a mind game. The battlefield is in the mind. And tablets, pills, medication only slows your mind down. It doesn't heal you. Do you understand that? It doesn't heal you. In this church, we know how to help you to bring supernatural healing to you without doing anything dramatic. Are you with me? Without doing anything eerie. Without doing anything shoddy in some kind of a caves or some corners. Everything we do happens here in this sanctuary. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Amen. It's a huge building, you know. If it's a personal one, we'll take you to one of the rooms downstairs. Still in this church. Hallelujah. Amen. We thank God for giving us a building like this, and we thank our fathers who voluntarily gave to this church. However, some here have not yet caught on to the move of God in this church. Others have folded their arms and saying, this is my life. I want to do what I want with it. I only come to church if I am on duty to serve. If I'm not on duty to serve, I stay home. You see what I mean? That shows the heart of somebody who the enemy has got his or her number. And one day he will destroy you. You understand that? Because life is not as you see it. I've seen life, I've had a few decades in my life, and I've seen some of the things that you haven't seen. And I'm sharing with you. I'm not totally ignorant. In fact, I am not ignorant of the devil's device. And my school teachers are not dead yet. That means I have a little bit of education. But the irony, however, is this. Whether you want to fold your arms or you don't, Jesus said, the wind blows where it wills. And you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it is coming from or where it is going. That's in John chapter 3, verse 8. When he met Nicodemus, wonderfully educated, a teacher of the law. He knew the Bible. He came to Jesus at night and said, God, I know you are from God. And how did he know that? He says, no one does these wonderful things that I see being done except the Lord is with him. So there was something that he saw in Jesus that made him go to Jesus Christ. He said, I want more. I know God for myself. I teach the Bible myself. But I want more. Because what I've had is not enough. I want more. And Jesus said, but you are a teacher of the law and you don't know these simple things. I say to you, indeed, unless you are born again, unless you allow God to come to you, unless you acknowledge that you're a sinner, unless you acknowledge that you are far from God, that you cannot, go to God by your own righteousness, you cannot stand before God and say, I am clean. Whenever you say, I am not perfect, tells you that you are a sinner. So tell yourself that I am a sinner instead of saying I'm not perfect. Because we're not looking for perfect beings here. Because you recognize that there's something wrong with you. Each time you think that way, go back to God and say, God, you know what? My sins are before me. That's what King David said in Psalm 51. He said, my sins are before me. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Take not thy Holy Spirit away from me. Restore to me the joy of my salvation. That was when David, the king of Israel, who was supposed to be their priest, their worship leader, their Bible teacher, their governor, had messed about big time. And he said, my sins are before me. He went to God. He did not hide it. So if you come to church and we are using words like repent, it looks like a very big word, biblical word, church word. It means that turn away from where you are going, which you know is not good, and come back to God and say, God, I am sorry. Turn away from being independent from God. Turn away from disobeying God. Turn away from doing the things that you know that will hurt you and hurt others, and still you do them. That's what it means by repentance. That will be your first step towards God, and God is willing to save your life. And God told Nicodemus that unless you are born again, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. He says, unless you sort yourself out, unless you allow the Holy Spirit to sort yourself out, you are in trouble. He says, how do I do that? He says, the wind is blowing. You don't know where it's coming from. You don't know where it's going, but you feel it. That is the same thing that happens. That if you allow God and align yourself with him, he's able to open the door for you so that his Holy Spirit will come and blow on you and come and live with you. And that will transform your life. In biblical language, in the theological colleges, we call it transcreation. That means he will restore your life and give you a new life. That's why in this church we say a new life, a new beginning. A lot of you have grown like I grew up. We knew so much about the Bible. But sometimes we only pick what our pastor tells us. But you need somebody to sit down to teach you. Some people have been made teachers. That's why you go to school, don't you? We can all learn from the internet. But you need to go to school for somebody to teach you something. Isn't that right? Even if you do open university every now and then, they say come to school. Yes or no in this country? Yes. Why? Because they need to hear mean things for you. Open your eyes a little bit more. So I challenge each one of you and encourage you at the same time. If you are in this church, seriously think about it. That we need to open your eyes to the full counsel of God. We need to open your eyes into some revelation Because a lot of people, I mean, WhatsApp, they get all the wonderful prayers and everything. I tell you what, they don't even know what they're talking about. We're not here for motivational language, you know. We're here to say, here I am. Here for you. There's nothing hidden in my heart. Only you, oh God. And I just want to encourage you as a pastor, I have absolutely no agenda. Because I've worked my life already, right? Some of you know me. I've had a career already. What is left, I just want to give it to this church, to you, and to your soul, and to everybody. Until God says, it's over. Or retire and go and put up your feet somewhere. I know Bramwell doesn't want me to retire. Because he's not ready to be a pastor. Don't worry, I'm not pushing you. Have your career. So here we are, my brothers and my sisters. If we do not wake up to the reality of what is around us, you wouldn't even know what will hit you until you are at the end of your wits. Hallelujah. Let's take a scripture from Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, and then I'll come back to the main theme of my message, because I've told you that I'm not going to rush, because I have next Sunday and the following Sunday to continue this story. So I will take it easy. And when I was preparing my note, it felt like it will all fit into neat Sundays, but I know it will not. So I'll be patient and I'll finish what I could, the Spirit will allow me to. Say, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, that means there are rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Shall we all read it again? For our struggle, there might be some struggles that you'll be going through and you haven't even thought about it. Michelle has come to make herself vulnerable to share with you her struggles. For this struggle is not against flesh and blood. That means the person sitting next to you is not your problem, you know. The person that you think that, oh gosh, this is the witchcraft in the house, is not your problem. You are dealing with, struggling with things that are not flesh and blood. That means you can't see. But against the rulers. When we say somebody rules, that person has a kingdom, a domain. Against the authorities, that is people who have power. I mean, some things that have power. They don't have flesh, but they have kingdom, but they have power. Against the powers of this dark world. There's a dark world out there. Even our English language tells us that. There's a dark world out there where you don't know what happens, but its machinations, we experience them. And sometimes for the bad, or most of the time actually. And against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. So we want you to know that there's an atmosphere out there that there are forces of evil that operates. And one of the testimonies that we heard here on Friday was somebody said, look, we went to court and the judge said, we will not listen to your case. I don't even want to. And the person said, she sat in this church for several years. Especially in these last few months or last year, she hears us saying shift atmosphere. She says them, but she didn't know what it means. But then she remembered that it means pray to shift the atmosphere. And as she started praying and shifting the atmosphere, suddenly the judge's heart began to warm and started listening to the case. Hear that? Started listening to the case. At the end of the day, the judge said, you know what? I don't see any reason why this person's case should not be heard and the person shouldn't be granted justice. My only problem is that I'm not the top judge in this court. So I'm going to make a recommendation. We're going to shift atmosphere. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So somehow we have to learn to shift atmosphere. Let me read from the Living Bible for us. That's like a kid's Bible, right? But actually proper Bible. Let me read the same verse, what it says from the Living Bible. When you go into the internet, it says TLB, in short, the Living Bible. Say, for we are not fighting against people made of flesh and blood, but against persons without bodies. The evil rulers of the unseen world, those mighty satanic beings and great evil princes of darkness who rule this world, and against huge numbers of wicked spirits in the spirit world. How do you hear that? You can understand this, a simple language, right? We are not fighting against people made of flesh and blood, but against persons without bodies. They are persons without bodies. That is why these evil satanic spirits of darkness, they love to live in bodies. That is why Jesus Christ cast them out. Because they are persons without bodies and they want bodies to dwell in. So when they come and mess your life up. No one in his rightful mind or her rightful mind want to take your life. Do you? No one want to go through, chronic illness and diseases. Do you? We thank God for the doctors and the nurses. You're doing a great job. But I can assure you, and I'm 100% sure, that not every sickness you can deal with. I know there are nurses here in this church. Right now, as I'm speaking, a friend of mine, she's a top doctor. And her sister, also medical, literally, the doctors have said, there's nothing that we can do. And the person is now in hospice. When you hear the name hospice, that means we are preparing you to die. And there's absolutely nothing they can do. Suffering from some kind of cancer. So doctors, we appreciate you. Nurses, we appreciate you, what you do. But I want you to also come to the reality that you can't do anything and everything. And when it comes to a point like that, that's when we need miracles. And I say miracles happen here. And sometimes we have to learn to deal with these issues at the core, spiritually. Therefore, in this church, we have inner healing and deliverance. We actually cast out demons in this church, you know. Some of you who just recently joined us. We have ability to see, discern, to hear, and to rebuke them. We don't do no incantation. We don't hold some cross and say, come on, no. We don't do things like that. We look at you in the face and say, in the name of Jesus Christ, go. Amen. In some cases, we don't even do anything. We're just worshiping, and then it just happens. In some cases, we're just having a conversation. Like last Friday, we were just having a conversation, and it just happened. It's incredible. I know this place cannot fit even a helicopter here, right? And you're standing, and noise coming through your ears like a plane is taking off. And you see what is happening, and you think, what is that? We know what we're doing here. We've been trained. God has given us revelation, understanding, and power, and authority. And we cast out devils as everyday routine here. Hallelujah. Amen. We want to help people. That's why we're here. You see, I'm laughing because I know that I've got the number of Satan, right? Hello? Amen. And a lot of you have got a number of the demons here. We've got their numbers. No fear. You hear that? Because fear is a spirit. I refer First Timothy chapter, 2 Timothy chapter, is it 2:7 or 1:7? Somebody check for me. It says, for God has not given us the spirit of fear. Is this 1 Timothy 2:7? Say again? 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. I know there's a 2 and a 7 somewhere. So, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 says, for God has not given us the spirit of fear. And sometimes they say timidity. You see, when there's fear in you, it gives you timid, you become timid. And you can't do certain things. You see, he said the spirit of fear. So fear is a spirit. That cripples you. It makes you scared to do the things that you can normally do. Some have fear, are afraid to walk in the dark. You know why? It's a spirit of fear haunting you. We are so privileged in this country, there's light everywhere. Thank you, my sister. She knows where she comes from. Sometimes you have to beg them to turn on the light. They turn it on when they want. They turn it off when they want. You can't rely on anything. I went to one country, no names, but you can guess. Okay, let me shut the story. I will stop the story because the laughter tells it, gives it out. Anyway, let me press on, guys, here. You see, I just want you to understand that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. God wants us to have a sound mind. When there's fear, the Bible says it torments you. It torments, and the torment is not in the heart, it's in the mind. So it is in your mind that you can. You see cockroaches and you are running. Some people live with it. You see mosquitoes and you are screaming. Some people sleep in it. Thank you. I hope you've seen one before. Thank you. I just want you to know that God wants us to have a sound mind. So whatever makes you irritable sometimes because your mind is not sound, doesn't mean that you've lost your brain. Fear sometimes is what actually makes us behave the way we do. Fear has so many symptoms that it releases. Medical people just take you through counseling, and counseling is a long time to waste your time to go and tell them all about your family. You know why they ask them about your family? Because they want to see if there's some patterns there, but they have no solution except to give you psychological talk. But when you come to inner healing and deliverance, you are set free one time. Because that's what Jesus Christ did, and that is what we're doing. So we are in the ministry of Jesus Christ. Preach them to become saved, like Nicodemus' situation. Disciple them to become, followers, faithful followers of Jesus Christ. Heal the sick and cast out devils. That is what Jesus Christ came to do, and that is what we do. A lot of people love nice and cozy church, and it's growing and it's good for them. I bless them because that's the ministry they've been called in. But I believe we've been called into the ministry of the supernatural power of God. Hallelujah. Now let's read our passage. That is Luke chapter 11, verse 22-23. But if I drive out demons by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come to you. When a strong man fully armed guards his own house, his possessions are safe. But when someone stronger attacks and overpowers him, he takes away the armor in which the man trusted and divides up the spoils. He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. You know who said all these things? Jesus Christ. Roll it back to verse 20. But if I drive out demons by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. So today, I just want you to understand that in this church, we've been driving out demons, and I've been driving out demons, like nothing, right? And if I drive out demons by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come to you. That means deliverance has come to you. That means taking back what is yours has come to you. Restoration of life has come to you. Your life has been put back to where it is. You see, you'll be wondering, but what is the finger of God? The finger of God is when the Holy Spirit clothes you. It's like you put on the Holy Spirit. See, these are the things that we teach people, how to put on the Holy Spirit like your cloth, so that you can stand and look at the demon and say, if I, by the finger of God, cast out demons, then the kingdom of God, your inheritance, has come. There are at least half a dozen or more people who can do exactly what I'm telling you in this church. And this has happened only in the last 8 months. After they've embraced our vision pathway, they come a new life, a new beginning. They've been baptized by water. They've had supernatural encounter where the Holy Spirit just descend upon them. Because the Bible says, when the Holy Spirit come upon you, you shall have power. Now, if you open yourself, you receive something. But every stage of our vision gives you a chance to actually receive. So if something that you want, you didn't get it, the next stage of the pathway, you get something. And people have gone through House of Peace now, and they finished, right? Before Christmas. And every one of them now is ready. These days, you see, I don't really pray for people by laying hands. Other people pray for you because they've been praying for miracles in this church. Instant miracles. Not only Friday. It's been happening here sometimes. Our normal Friday prayers. Sometimes in our teaching sessions. Sometimes on Sundays. They do these things. So we are not a weirdo church, are we? But look around. Any weirdo you see here, tell me. Mathis, we need normal people, aren't we? Thank you. So I just want you to understand, once fear enters your heart, because the reason why some of you are running away because either you are sinners or fear is in your heart or you are involved in some bad behavior you don't want to give up. So you've drawn your lines. I don't have time. Unless you cross the line of convenience, you will never get anywhere. So if you have drawn some lines on the floor, because you're not prepared to be transformed. I will go only that far with God. You know what? I will only go that far. I want to go to heaven, but I only go that far with you. Of course, when you die today, you go to heaven. If you're a believer, if you're giving your life to Jesus Christ. But when you go, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, it said, God will ask you, what did you do with your life? That is the question for a believer that you have to answer. And we are helping you so that one day you can stand before God, beautiful and handsome as you are, you're looking even more handsome and beautiful when you meet God. So, verse 21, when a strong man fully armed guards his own house, his possessions are safe. Leave it there in 21. When a strong man fully armed, guards his own house, his possessions are safe. You see, there's a strong man out there who has come to rescue and wrestle, or maybe you have opened your door, giving him the legal right to come and take certain things, your inheritance and your destiny from you. And he's made him so strong. And in his kingdom, in some translation, he says his kingdom or his domain, he guards his own house. He takes it to his house. Because if it is in his hand, you got to go and fight it. Somebody, a thief come and thief things for you. You think you can just get it easy? Even if you know that it is your next door neighbor who thieved it. Do you think you can go and say, hey, you know what? I hear you've come to take my cut. I want it. How do you know that? You got to know that of a reality has got your cut. But if he says, I ain't going to give it to you, there's absolutely nothing you can do if you are law-abiding in this country. But there's one thing you can do. You go to the police, don't you? Why? Because they have authority. They are stronger men, and they will come. And when they come and say, we checked the DNA of this cat. We checked the thing around its neck. We've checked the date of birth and everything. This cat belonged to this person. Give it, and they will give it. So somehow along the line, if the enemy has taken your possessions, I don't know which possessions of yours that the enemy has taken. Some of you, it's your health. Some of you is your job. Some of you is your marriage. Some of you is your children. Some of you is your money. Some of you is your security. Some of you is your sanity. Some of you is your confidence that he has taken. And he's taking it to his house. And he's not going to let it go, so he's guarding it. And that possession becomes his and is safe. But someone stronger, when someone stronger attacks him, overpowers him, he takes away the armor in which that man trusted, and divides up his spoil. You see, because the person is not going to sit down and wait, the person who's put on his armor, that means he will make sure his house is protected. Anytime you go anywhere near it, there's going to be a sound. But somebody needs to go there and do that work. Hallelujah. You see, in Jesus' teaching in Luke 11, he taught his disciples about three levels of prayer. Luke chapter 11 is about three levels of prayer. A lot of people don't know, but let me educate you. If you're in this church, you know a lot. The first level, he taught them about how to build intimacy and relationship with God. Thank you, Matthew. You're doing a great job. He taught them how to build intimacy with the Lord. And that is what we call the Lord's Prayer. That means you have to build an intimacy with your Heavenly Father. You have to know God as your Father. That is what it is about. The Lord's Prayer is not for us to just repeat, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." We do it at the funerals and it doesn't mean anything. We do it at weddings, it doesn't mean anything. There's every provision in there for you to learn to build intimacy, get closer to God, some relationship with the Father. That's what it is about. Let me tell you about the second level. All this is, we've preached about it, spent hours. It's on our website. You can just go and say, talk about it, prayer. The second level is about having had an intimacy with God and know Him as your Father. Now you have to see Him as a friend. So you learn to do what we call intercession. It's a word a lot of Christians like, intercession, but they have no understanding. Now, before you intercede, you have to know God as a friend so that you can go to Him as your friend, even in the dark hours of your life, in the odd hours of your life, and knock at His door so that you go and ask from your Father who is your friend and give it to your friend, someone who you know. It could be your son, your daughter, your neighbor, somebody who is ill, somebody who is in trouble, somebody that needs to be prayed for. Somebody wants to stand in the gap. And therefore, I say, "Father, I know you." Bible said that even though the door will not be open, because you are a friend and because of your shameless audacity, you are not afraid. You just pressing on. The door will be opened. And whatever you ask for, He will give it to you. That is intercession. You ask from a friend for a friend. Then there's a third level of prayer that Jesus Christ taught. He said, the disciples actually went to Him. They said, "We see you praying all the time. We see that all the miracles you're doing is as a result of your early hours of prayer. So teach us how to pray." That's what He said. "Lord, teach us how to pray." And He started and did not stop at the Lord's Prayer. But a lot of people start and stop at the Lord's Prayer. And He goes on. And the third level is what we've just read. "But if I, by the finger of God, cast out the devil, the salvation has come upon you." And He goes on to talk about strong men. The third level of prayer is what we call warfare. Christians talk about we're going to do warfare. And their life is in a mess. They're sinners. They're doing what is not right. They haven't sorted out their life out. So one, they don't know God as a father. You see, fathers are great. Some of you have no fathers. I mean, my dad is dead. But a few years that I had with him when I was alive, I knew, whoa, that's the best thing I could ever get. The firmness and the direction and the diplomacy and the softness. Yet smart. I got a bit from him. So I just want you to understand, my brothers and sisters, that is warfare. And when it comes to warfare, it's a battle. Do you understand that? That is a battle. But when we come to what we just read, this warfare actually has three levels of warfare. I've never taught you this, but I want you to understand this. We'll expand it next week. There are three levels of warfare that we have to see in this context of fighting, because warfare is where prayer is seen in the context of fighting battles. So similarly, when it comes to prayer of warfare, you need to understand that there are also three levels here. The finger of God, which I've told you, the Holy Spirit clothing you so you can cast out demons. Then there are legal battles that you must win. And there are military battles that you have to win. When you are able to go through these and survive, when you shoot, which I believe you shoot and it will happen, then you can take back spoils from the strong man. Are you with me? To take back spoil from the strong man is not when you go and you pray, "Oh God, please help me." You're not going to please nobody. You are in a battle. You don't look at your enemy and say, "Oh, please help me." Or you don't go and ask your captain. When you are in the battlefield and say, "Oh, captain, please, what do I do?" No way. You know what to do. And this church, if you stay here enough for the next 6 months, the next year, you know exactly what to do. It won't be even that long. You win those military battles because the strong man is Satan. The strong man is a local principality, or the strong man is a demonic mountain that rises against whomever wants to establish the kingdom of God in a given place, in your home. You know what? I would love to stop here. There's a lot I want to share with you, but at least I've introduced you to where we're going. Are you with me? It's going to be exciting next week. It's going to be powerful next week. But before I leave and go and sit down, I just want you to understand that God is interested in you. God is interested in your soul. God is interested in empowering you. You see, we're not talking about being a Pentecostal, a charismatic, a Methodist, a Baptist, a Presbyterian, a Catholic, or whatever it is. We are not into denomination here. Neither are we interdenominational. We are Christians. I wish Jesus Christ wore any of those badges. He didn't. We're here to teach you revelational knowledge, to equip you so that not only will you be able to fight battles, but to win them. Are you with me? And if I'm asking you to come forward for prayer, we want to help you. So today you've heard a few things from me. Maybe you don't know how to pray like the disciples were. You want to learn how to pray. Even to get on the first level, second level, third level, before I even take you into the deeper sense of it, I want you to come right here. Or maybe you can pray already, but you want to know how to pray even better, effective. I want you to come right here. We're going to pray for you the next few minutes. I've only 3 minutes and I'm going to sit down. Who wants prayer right now? Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, please hurry up.